see nothing.
Jacob, old Jacob of Marley, tell me more. Speak comfort to me, Jacob.
I have none to give. He comes from other regions, Ebenezer Scrooge, and is conveyed by other ministers to other kinds of men. My spirit never walked beyond our counting house. Mark me. In life, my spirit never roved beyond the narrow limits of our body-changing hole. I never knew that any Christian spirit, working kindly in its little sphere, whatever it may be, will find its mortal life too short for its vast means of usefulness. Never knew that no space of regret can make amends for one's life's opportunity misused. Yet such was I. Oh, such was I.
But you were always a good man of business, Jacob.
Business? Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business. It held up its chain at arm's length, as if that were the cause of all its unavailing grief, and flung it heavily upon the ground again. At this time of the rolling year, I suffer most. I am here tonight to warn you that you have yet a chance and hope of escaping my fate, a chance and hope of my procuring Ebenezer. You will be haunted by three spirits. Without their visits, you cannot hope to shun the path I tread. Expect the first tomorrow when the bell tolls one. Expect the second on the next night at the same hour. The third upon the next night when the last stroke of 12 has ceased to vibrate.
Couldn't I take them all at once and have it over, Jacob?
Look to see me no more. And look that for your own sake. You remember what has passed between us.
When it had said these words, the spectre took its wrapper from the table and bound it round its head as before. Scrooge knew this by the smart sound its teeth made when the jaws were brought together by the bandage. He ventured to raise his eyes again, and found his supernatural visitor confronting him in an erect attitude, with its chain wound over and about its arm. The apparition walked backward from him, and at every step it took, the window raised itself a little, so that when the spectre reached it, it was wide open. It beckoned Scrooge to approach, which he did. When they were within 2 paces of each other, Marley's ghost held up its hand, warning him to come no nearer. Scrooge stopped, not so much in obedience as in surprise and fear, for on the raising of the hand, he became sensible of confused noises in the air, incoherent sounds of lamentation and regret, wailings inexpressibly sorrowful and self-accusatory. The spectre, after listening for a moment, joined in the mournful dirge and floated out upon the bleak, dark night. Scrooge followed to the window, desperate in his curiosity. The air was filled with phantoms, wandering hither and thither in restless haste and moaning as they went. Every one of them wore chains like Marley's ghost. Many had been personally known to Scrooge in their lives. He had been quite familiar with one old ghost in a white waistcoat with a monstrous iron safe attached to its ankle, who cried piteously at being unable to assist a wretched woman with an infant whom it saw below upon a doorstep. The misery with them all was clearly that they sought to interfere for good in human matters and had lost the power forever. Whether these creatures faded into mist or mist enshrouded them, he could not tell, but they and their spirit voices faded together, and the night became as it had been when he walked home. Scrooge closed the window and examined the door by which the ghost had entered. It was double locked, as he had locked it with his own hands, and the bolts were undisturbed. And being, from the emotion he had undergone, or the fatigues of the day, or his glimpse of the invisible world, or the dull conversation of the ghost, or the lateness of the hour, much in need of repose, went straight to bed and fell asleep upon the instant.
Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong,
what?
Ding dong, Gadoin, 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 Gadoin. Gadoin, 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 Gadoin.
What?
Gadoin.
Nine?
Gadoin.
Ten?
Gadoin.
11?
Gadoin.
12? It was past two when I went to bed. 12? Why, it isn't possible that I can have slept through a whole day and far into another night. It isn't possible that anything has happened to the sun, and this is 12 at noon. Scrooge thought and thought and thought it over and over and over, and he could make nothing of it. He lay in this state until the chimes had gone three quarters more, when he remembered on a sudden that the ghost had warned him of a visitation when the bell tolled one. He resolved to lie awake until the hour was past. The quarter was so long that he was more than once convinced he must have sunk into a doze unconsciously and missed the clock. At length, it broke upon his listening ear.
Ding dong, ding dong.
Quarter past.
Ding dong, ding dong.
Half past.
Ding dong, ding dong.
Quarter to it.
Ding dong, ding dong.
The hour itself and nothing else. He spoke before the hour had sounded, which it now did with a deep, dull, hollow, melancholy gadoing. Light flashed up in the room upon the instant, and the curtains of his bed were drawn aside. The curtains of his bed were drawn aside, I tell you, by a hand. Not the curtains at his feet, nor the curtains at his back, but those to which his face was addressed. The curtains of his bed were drawn aside, and Scrooge, starting up into a half-recumbent attitude, found himself face to face with the unearthly visitor who drew them. It was a strange figure, like a child, yet not so like a child as like an old man, viewed through some supernatural medium which gave him the appearance of having receded from the view and being diminished to a child's proportions. Its hair, which hung about its neck and down its back, was white as if with age, and yet the face had not a wrinkle in it and the tenderest blooms on the skin. Its legs and feet, most delicately formed, were, like its upper members, bare. It wore a tunic of the purest white, and round its waist was bound a lustrous belt, the sheen of which was beautiful. It held a branch of fresh green holly in its hand, and, in singular contradiction of that wintry emblem, had its dress trimmed with summer flowers. But the strangest thing about it was that from the crown of its head there sprung a bright
clear jet of light by which all this was visible, and which was doubtless the occasion of its using, in its duller moments, a great extinguisher for a cap which it now held under its arm. Are you the spirit whose coming was foretold to me?
I am.
Who and what are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
No. Your past.
Perhaps Scrooge could not have told anybody why, if anybody could have asked him, but he had a special desire to see the spirit in his cap, and he begged him to be covered.
What? Would you so soon put out with worldly hands the light I give? Is it not enough that you are one of those whose passions made this cap and force me through whole trains of years to wear it low upon my brow?
What business brings you here?
Your welfare.
I'm much obliged, but a night of unbroken rest would have been more conducive to that end.
Your reclamation, then. Take heed. It put out its strong hand as it spoke and clasped him gently by the arm. Rise and walk with me.
It would have been in vain for Scrooge to plead that the weather and the hour were not adapted to pedestrian purposes, that he was clad but lightly in his slippers, dressing gown, and nightcap. The grasp, though gentle as a woman's hand, was not to be resisted.
He rose, but finding that the spirit made towards the window, clasped its robe in supplication.
I am a mortal and liable to fall.
Bear but a touch of my hand there upon your heart, and you shall be upheld in more than this. As the words were spoken, they passed through the wall
and stood upon an open country road with fields on either hand. The city had entirely vanished. Not a vestige of it was to be seen. The darkness and the mist had vanished with it, for it was a clear, cold winter day with snow upon the ground.
Good heavens, I was bred in this place. I was a boy here.
You recollect the way?
Remember it? I could walk it blindfold.
Strange to have forgotten it for so many years. They walked along the road, Scrooge recognizing every gate and post and tree, until a little market town appeared in the distance with its bridge, its church and winding river.
Some shaggy ponies now were seen trotting towards them with boys upon their backs, who called to other boys in country gigs and carts driven by farmers. All these boys were in great spirits and shouted to each other until the broad fields were so full of merry music that the crisp air laughed to hear it.
These are but shadows of the things that have been. They have no consciousness of us.
The jocund travellers came on, and as they came, Scrooge knew and named them every one. He heard them give each other Merry Christmas as they parted at crossroads and byways for their several homes.
The school is not quite deserted, said the ghost. A solitary child, neglected by his friends, is left there still.
They left the high road by a well-remembered lane, and soon approached a mansion of dull red brick, with a little weathercock-surmounted cupola on the roof and a bell hanging in it. It was a large house, but one of broken fortunes. Entering the dreary hall and glancing through the open doors of many rooms, they found them poorly furnished, cold and vast. There was an earthy savour in the air, a chilly bareness in the place, which associated itself somehow with too much getting up by candlelight and not too much to eat. They went, the ghost and Scrooge, across the hall to a door at the back of the house. It opened before them and disclosed a long, bare, melancholy room, made barer still by lines of plain deal forms and desks. At one of these, a boy was reading near a feeble fire, and Scrooge himself sat down upon a form and looked upon his poor forgotten self as he had used to be.
I wish I...
What is the matter?
Nothing. There was a boy singing a Christmas carol at my door last night. I should have liked to have given him something, that's all.
The ghost smiled thoughtfully and waved its hand, saying as it did so, "Let us see another Christmas." Scrooge's former self grew larger at the words, and the room became a little darker and more dirty. The panels shrunk, the windows cracked, fragments of plaster fell out of the ceiling, and the naked laths were shown instead. But how all this was brought about, Scrooge knew no more than you do. He only knew that it was quite correct, that everything had happened so, that there he was, alone again, when all the other boys had gone home for the holidays. He was not reading now, but walking up and down despairingly. Scrooge suddenly glanced anxiously towards the door. It opened, and a little girl, much younger than the boy, came darting in. She threw her arms about his neck and kissed him again and again. "Dear, dear brother, I've come to bring you home, dear brother, to bring you home, 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 home for good and all, home for ever and ever. Oh, father is so much kinder than he used to be that home's like heaven. He spoke so gently to me one night when I was going to bed that I was not afraid to ask him once more if you might come home, and he said yes, you should, and sent me in a coach to bring you, and you're to be a man and are never to come back here. But first, we're to be together all the Christmas long and have the merriest time in the world." She began to drag him in her childish eagerness towards the door, and he, nothing loath to go, accompanied her.
"Always a delicate creature, whom a breath might have withered," said the ghost. "But she had a large heart."
"So she had. You're right. I'll not gainsay it, spirit. God forbid.
She died a woman, and had, as I think, children.
One child.
True. Your nephew...
Yes. At that moment, they left the school behind them and were now in the busy thoroughfares of a city. It was made plain enough by the dressing of the shops that here, too, it was Christmas time again. But it was evening, and the streets were lighted up. The ghost stopped at a certain warehouse door and asked Scrooge if he knew it.
"Know it? I was apprenticed here."
They went in.
An old gentleman in a Welsh wig was sitting behind such a high desk that if he had been 2 inches taller, he must have knocked his head against the ceiling.
"Why, it's old Fezziwig. It's Fezziwig alive again."
Old Fezziwig laid down his pen and looked up at the clock, which pointed to the hour of 7. He rubbed his hands, adjusted his capacious waistcoat, and called out, "Yo-ho there, Ebenezer Dick!" Scrooge's former self, now grown a young man, came briskly in, accompanied by his fellow prentice.
It's Dick Wilkins, to be sure," said Scrooge.
"You're home, my boys. No more work tonight. Christmas Eve, Dick. Christmas, Ebenezer. Let's have the shutters up before a man can say Jack Robinson."
You wouldn't believe how those two fellows went at it. They charged into the street with the shutters. 1, 2, 3, had 'em up in their places. 4, 5, 6, barred 'em and pinned 'em. 7, 8, 9, and came back before you could have got to 12, panting like racehorses.
"Hilly hi ho ho!"
Fezziwig skipped down from the high desk with wonderful agility.
"Clear away, my lads! Let's have lots of room here."
The floor was swept and watered, the lamps were trimmed, fuel was heaped upon the fire, and the warehouse was as snug and warm and dry and bright a ballroom as you would desire to see upon a winter's night. In came a fiddler with a music book, and went up to the lofty desk and made an orchestra of it, and tuned like 50 stomachaches. In came Mrs. Fezziwig, one vast, substantial smile. In came the 3 Miss Fezziwigs, beaming and lovable. In came the 6 young followers whose hearts they broke. In came all the young men and women employed in the business. In came the housemaid with her cousin, the baker. In came the cook with her brother's particular friend, the milkman. In came the boy from over the way who was suspected of not having board enough from his master, trying to hide himself behind the girl from next door but one, who was proved to have had her ears pulled by her mistress. In they all came, one after another, some shyly, some boldly, some gracefully, some awkwardly, some pushing, some pulling. In they all came, anyhow and everyhow. There were dances, and there were forfeits, and more dances, and there was cake, and there was negus, and there was a great piece of cold roast, and there was a great piece of cold boiled, and there were mince pies and plenty of beer. But the great effect of the evening came after the roast and boiled, when the fiddler struck up Sir Roger de Coverley. Then old Fezziwig stood out to dance with Mrs. Fezziwig, top couple too, with a good stiff piece of work cut out for them, 3 or 4 and 20 pair of partners. But if there had been twice as many, 4 times, old Fezziwig would have been a match for them, and so would Mrs. Fezziwig. A positive light appeared to issue from Fezziwig's calves. They shone in every part of the dance like moons. When the clock struck 11, this domestic ball broke up. Mr. and Mrs. Fezziwig took their stations, one on either side of the door, and shaking hands with every person individually as he or she went out, wished him or her a Merry Christmas. When everybody had retired but the 2 prentices, they did the same to them. Scrooge's former self turned down the lamps, and the cheerful voices died away. And Scrooge and the ghost again stood side by side in the open air. A small matter to make these silly folks so full of gratitude. He has but spent a few pounds of your mortal money, 3 or 4, perhaps.
It isn't that. It isn't that, Spirit. He had the power to render us happy or unhappy, to make our service light or burdensome, a pleasure or a toil. The happiness he gave is quite as great as if it cost a fortune.
My time grows short. Quick, said the ghost. This was not addressed to Scrooge or to anyone whom he could see, but it produced an immediate effect, for again Scrooge saw himself. He was older now, a man in the prime of his life. His face had not the harsh and rigid lines of later years, but it had begun to wear the signs of care and avarice. There was an eager, greedy, restless motion in the eye, which showed the passion that had taken root and where the shadow of the growing tree would fall. He was not alone, but sat by the side of a fair young girl in a mourning dress, in whose eyes there were tears.
Another idol has displaced me, and if it can cheer and comfort you in time to come, as I would have tried to do, I have no just cause to grieve.
What idol has displaced you? Demanded young Ebenezer.
A golden one.
This is the even-handed dealing of the world. There is nothing on which it is so hard as poverty, and there is nothing it professes to condemn with such severity as the pursuit of wealth.
Oh, you fear the world too much. All your other hopes have been merged into the hope of being beyond the chance of its sordid reproach. I have seen your nobler aspirations fall off one by one until the master passion gain engrosses you. Have I not?
What then? Even if I have grown so much wiser, what then? I am not changed towards you.
You are changed. But today, tomorrow, yesterday, can I believe that you would choose a dowerless girl? I release you with a full heart for the love of him you once were. May you be happy in the life you have chosen.
And so she left him.
Spirit, show me no more, said Scrooge. Conduct me home. Why do you delight to torture me?
I told you these were shadows of the things that have been, that they are what they are. Do not blame me.
Remove me, I cannot bear it.
He turned upon the ghost and saw that it looked upon him with a face in which some strange way there were fragments of all the faces it had shown him.
Leave me, take me back, haunt me no longer.
Scrooge, observing that the spirit's light was burning high and bright, and dimly connecting that with its influence over him, he seized the extinguisher cap and by a sudden action pressed it down upon its head. The spirit dropped beneath it, so that the extinguisher covered its whole form. But though Scrooge pressed it down with all his force, he could not hide the light, which streamed from under it in an unbroken flood upon the ground. He was conscious of being exhausted and overcome by an irresistible drowsiness, and furthermore, of being in his own bedroom. He gave the cap a parting squeeze in which his hand relaxed, and had barely time to reel to bed before he sank into a heavy sleep.
Whether I'm going to Johnny Foodmaster's or cruising the parkway on my TA, I like to tune in to WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It's wicked pisser.
It is wicked Tessa. So there we have it. It's part one of A Christmas Carol by Patrick Stewart. It is 6:23 here on Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas, everybody. My name is Chris Earle. I'm here with you until 8 p.m. Show I normally do is time travel every Wednesday from 5 to 7 p.m. Today I've been here since 1 o'clock, and I am doing a very special Christmas Eve show for you here on time travel. I've got some requests for you. And I'll be playing part two for A Christmas Carol at a later time. I hope you enjoyed it. I could play it tonight. I could play it next year. We can take some votes. 855-915-9636. 855-915-WMFO. Got about an hour and 35 minutes. So this part two is an hour. I could play some tunes. I got my Grinch moment coming up. And I got some requests, including this one from Vaughn Monroe. Let It Snow. Vaughn Monroe is not the guy who called. It was Ryan Domina. He wanted this one. So here it is. Let It Snow, here on Time Travel.
Hi, folks. Here's one I think you'll all remember.
Let it snow. Christmas time all over the world, and Christmas here at home. The church bells chime wherever we roam. The snow is thick in most of the world, and children's eyes are wide as old Saint Nick gets ready to ride.
So Feliz Navidad, Fortune very cheap, and Happy New Year
to you. Though the customs may change and the language is strange, this appeal we feel is real in Holland or Hong Kong. It's Christmas time all over the world, and places near and far. And so, my friends, it's Christmas time all over the world, in places near and far. And so, my friends, wherever you are, that's right. Which means a very merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Someday a friend may offer you a chance to visit the other side of a dream. Your ticket is a little packet of white powder called heroin. But every packet of heroin is different. You don't know what's getting into you. Some doses are so strong they kill. Heroin is so vicious that the criminals who make the big money in heroin don't use it. They know a lot of reasons why heroin is very, very dumb. Maybe that's why they call it dope.
WMFO Medford, Massachusetts, a very special time travel with Chris Earle. It's happening until 8 p.m. And coming up is the naughty hour and the mean songs. It is Grinch hour here on Time Travel. Many of you have been waiting for this. I have plenty of naughty Christmas songs and plenty of mean things to say here at Christmas. And of course, we'll bring it all around and we'll be nice toward the end. Here's my first Grinch moment. I'm not playing part two of A Christmas Carol for you. We got a phone call. WMFO. WMFO, you are on the air with Chris Earle. Hello.
Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Who is this and where are you calling from?
All the way from Rochester, New York.
All the way from Rochester, New York. And I heard a beep. So it is.
And your brother's here too.
So it is my brother and Carolyn.
That's right.
That's Eric. Right. How are you?
Hey, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. What's Eric doing? Is he making some eggnog?
He actually is.
Really? Got a nice little brandy eggnog going, or what do you put in it?
Bacardi.
What do you put in it?
Bacardi.
Oh, Bacardi. So you got a little Bacardi and eggnog. What else you got? You got some snacks?
We actually do here. We've got tomato and basil and mozzarella. We've got some filet.
Nice.
Some chicken, some shrimp.
Beautiful.
What else do we have? Cod and salmon. And for some reason, Eric decided to get some summer squash.
Summer squash is good, though. I like summer squash. You usually don't see it on the table around Christmas time, but that's all right.
So
what'd you have? Some cod and some salmon?
That's right. After we went shopping today, we had to go get our food for dinner.
You could throw in like five more fishes and you got the whole feast. You got the, what is it, the Feast of the Seven Fishes?
Okay. Is that what we're trying to accomplish here?
Isn't that Italian? I think the Feast of the Seven Fishes is Italian. Yeah. It's the vigil of an Italian-American celebration of Christmas Eve with meals of fish and other types of seafood. You have cod, you have salmon, you got any scallops?
There's some shrimp tempura.
Shrimp tempura? How about, I saw a lobster flying around yesterday. You sent me a picture of a lobster. Anything left over there? You could throw that on the menu. Is that lobster gone?
No longer around.
That's all right.
He was steaming. He was suffering for about 5 minutes.
His poor thing was screaming.
It's the worst, isn't it, putting the lobster into the pot?
I had to leave the room. But I came back in the room when it was ready to be eaten.
Sure, yeah, when it's delicious. Well, you come back when it's delicious. So what else is happening here Christmas Eve? You were out shopping. Did you go to the malls?
Well, I actually had to pull Eric into the mall. It was a deal. We had to make a deal. We can go work out so we can go to the mall.
Mm-hmm. So you worked out and went to the mall?
Well, then by the time we got to the workout place, it was closed. So I actually won the deal because we were able to go to the mall first and then go to the gym.
Nice. Well planned. Well executed.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. We're just actually getting sick of the mall. So.
Yeah. Shopping is done?
Shopping, I hope so. Everything's closed for a reason.
Well, the Chinese food place and the gas stations are all open, most of them. So you can get a giant Reese's cup for somebody or some scratch tickets. If there's anything else you need to get.
We actually did.
Or you could get the number 7. You get the get the Chow Young Fat or maybe some beef sticks. I think I'm going to do that later. I might get a little Chinese food, some Christmas Eve Chinese food. I'm starving.
That's, well, listening to your hours today, 1 to 8, that's pretty committed.
I know. I do it for the people.
Very nice. Well, you're good at what you do.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. So how's things in Rochester? What is the weather like in Rochester, New York tonight?
Well, we actually went to a hockey game the other night. Tonight it's okay. It's mild, which means there's a storm coming. So.
Oh, they were supposed to have a white Christmas.
We do have a white Christmas. That's right. So the other night we actually decided to go to Buffalo to go to the Sabres hockey game, and we didn't even realize it, but we were in a winter advisory until we got home.
Wow.
But the roads were bad, and that's pretty much par for the course up here in upstate New York.
Mm-hmm. Are you tracking, well, if you're not, you can track Santa Claus on NORADSanta.com tonight. The official NORAD Santa tracker is up, and you can watch him fly through the sky. You can actually call a number and speak live with the Santa trackers. If you go to NORADSanta.org, you can actually see Santa Claus flying through the sky. I think I'm going to check in right now and we'll see where he is. How does that sound?
Definitely. Tell us where he is. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, let's see where he is. It's slowly monitoring. There must be many children looking at the NORADSanta.org site right now. My guess is he's overseas, right? Because, let's see, 6 hours ahead. So he's got to be around, like, Ireland and England and Spain, maybe France. Let's see. NORADSanta.org. So what? Have you started dinner? Are we talking in the middle of dinner? Or is dinner going all through Christmas Eve?
We call it grazing. Mm-hmm. We start out with a couple cocktails, and then we move into, Eric just prepared some of the fish and the meat.
Nice.
The filet. So, and now it's the sides, getting the sides prepared, but the biggest thing is the drinks.
What other holiday drinks do you have on the menu? What's your favorite holiday drink? How's that?
You know, I like peppermint.
You like peppermint?
I like a nice peppermint, yeah, schnapps or something with a splash of like cherry 7-Up. I love that. With vodka.
Very nice.
Actually, I told her too about the eggnog with the caramel swirl. Someone said they had that. It was really good, but I have never tried that. Have you?
Caramel swirl eggnog. Is that regular eggnog? Is that booze eggnog?
It's booze eggnog.
So it's how do you make the caramel swirl with it? You do that. Well, he's making it with the Bacardi, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what else is in it?
With the vodka swirl, the caramel flavor, mm-hmm. and then the eggnog.
Oh, it's caramel flavored vodka.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I bought myself some, what did I get? I got some Newcastle and some, I got some number 9, the Magic Hat. That's on the menu for me this Christmas.
Mm.
NORAD Santa is locked up right now. It looks pretty busy. People are tracking Santa Claus left and right. So I'm going to look it up on the phone for you right now. Let's see.
What is on your wish list for Christmas?
Oh, just peace. Peace. It was a stressful year. I need peace. I need less people in my life and more fun. I think that's what it is. That's what I want. Let's see. It's very, very Grinchy thing to say, isn't it?
No, it's what you want to do. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what you
want to
do.
Yeah. So, let's track Santa. He is in Europe. That's my final answer. He's in Europe. Everybody go to sleep and get ready. Carolyn, why don't you tell me a Christmas story? Tell me of a Christmas past. How about a favorite Christmas gift you received on Christmas?
Oh, you put me on the spot.
Huh? Nothing? You must have had a favorite Christmas gift one year. Go back. Let's go back in time travel. Let's go back to, when you were a young lassie. You came down Christmas morning and boom, there was something that you got. And you were like, oh my God, I don't believe it.
Eric said something happened today. What is it?
The Patriots won. That was my favorite Christmas gift today. It was actually happened the day before Christmas.
Well, how about this? Did your family celebrate the day before Christmas with opening one gift on Christmas Eve?
We always did. We always celebrated a lot of our gifts on Christmas Eve, and then got a few on Christmas Day.
Oh, you opened most of them on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun. And then
let's go to church. Church is always on the menu.
Fish was always on the menu.
Church.
Oh, church was always on the menu.
Every day, the whole day was centered around church. What time church was, you got to get there like 3 hours before church.
Uh-huh.
We were like the first car in the parking lot always, and the last car to leave.
And this was Christmas Eve.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So they got a midnight mass going tonight, I'm sure, all over the state.
I don't know how people could do that. I mean, stay up till midnight to go, and then...
Yeah.
Coming back and...
Well, especially when you got little kids, you got to get up at the crack of dawn, you know?
But right. I think as they get older, they go, but I still feel that midnight mass still.
People do it, though. Maybe that's why there's not so many Christmas memories. I think people forget because they don't have any sleep.
Probably.
So any idea? How about a favorite gift? Come up with anything? No? How about some hot sauce? Give me some hot sauce for Christmas. That would be a favorite gift.
Let's ask Eric about the hot sauce.
Tell me about this hot sauce place that we talked about this summer. Let's give them a shout out.
Was it Dinosaur Barbecue or was it Country Sweet?
I don't remember. I remember you brought some hot sauces and they were all fantastic.
You had Country Sweet. It's called a garbage plate here in Rochester. It's called Nick Tahoe's.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a huge tradition by coming here. to have a garbage plate. And it's just a bunch of, it's just hamburger meat, macaroni salad with hash browns mixed in with ketchup, mustard, and this famous hot sauce that's drizzled over the top.
Wow. And you have it for breakfast, lunch, dinner, anytime?
Usually it's good hangover food, or like after a night of drinking, everybody wants to go get a garbage plate.
That makes it easy for the cook, too, because you just throw it all on the grill and then just throw it into bowls. Like, here you go. Throw some sauce on it. You'll like it.
Go to a place here called Nick Tahoe's.
Nick Tahoe's. Okay.
Yep. And they give it to you in a styrofoam container,
mm-hmm.
individual orders. So you just, and they hand you their plastic forks, and everybody just goes crazy when you get it. And then nobody knows how to replicate the hot sauce or the secret sauce.
So
it's always a treat to go there.
I'm so surprised that there's still secrets out there for like sauces and things. But when you have a family recipe or something, you know, like what's in the McDonald's special sauce in the Big Mac? I don't know, but people keep going back for it.
You're right, they do. And they always want to try and like get the ingredients, or they look at, well, the internet can tell us everything.
Yeah. I think that's what I should do. I think my new job's going to be coming up with a new sauce for 2018. Earl sauce.
Okay. What's it going to be?
I don't know.
Flavor?
It's going to be sweet. It's going to be sweet and sour. And I guess, yeah, maybe a hot, maybe right. Just a hot, maybe a rage sauce. I think like a hot sauce, I just call it like rage sauce. And comes in a broken bottle.
You'll be pulling it out of your jacket, in the pocket in your jacket.
Yeah,
sprinkle some on your food. Everyone's going to want to know what it is.
Right. That'll be the secret too, is like I have to come to you. I will come to you in a van with the rage sauce in a broken bottle, and I will sprinkle it, and then I will leave. And I will insult whoever's eating it. And that'll be the whole gimmick.
Next word will travel fast, because everyone's going to want to know what's the guy. Mm-hmm. Well, usually in a van, it's usually creeps that drive in a van.
Mm-hmm.
Like an unmarked car with no windows, you have to make sure it's a little more appealing and inviting.
Yes.
Safe.
So how about a memory from Eric? Russ called in, actually, and he brought up a memory from Bedford a long time ago that I didn't remember. And I brought up one about Woburn when we dressed up as pirates, me and Russ, Christmas Eve, one year in 1978. Yeah, we dressed up as pirates. And then Russ Talton told me about he put like some skis on the roof, and he flashed a light, and I thought it was Santa Claus, and I freaked out. And those are two fun memories. Those are two fun Christmas memories. Eric, you got a good Christmas memory for us?
There's a story. How about when the tree fell down in front of the house? So I made a snowboard out of it. They took the 4x8 sheet of plywood and put over it. So we had like a Hogan's Heroes type portrait. We were throwing snowballs at cars and hiding there underneath the tree.
That's always fun.
Oh.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, that was cool. And then
just soft snowballs. We didn't do any damage.
That was one of the cool things that Dad did when we were at Bedford before we left there, was he made a big square in the backyard and he filled it with water. So I had an ice skating rink. That was pretty awesome. So I was out there ice skating. I remember that was around Christmas time, if not Christmas.
I think that was my idea. I carved it out, and I think he helped finish it with me. We took the hose in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had it in the basement, ran out the
I haven't.
Back.
Yeah. I haven't heard from Dad yet. I heard from him yesterday. I figured he'd call in with his new, he's got his new Christmas toilet, so he invited me over for dinner, but he's like,
I helped put it in, and I was actually going to poop in it before I filled it with water. It would have been awesome.
You should have christened it.
We've been Christmas poop.
Okay, so listen a minute. Speaking of, I mean, this is pretty gross, but it's not that gross. So a friend of mine, you know how Facebook is like so social media, and you just, sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not, what up? Someone posted this thing on Facebook that you can buy these little capsules that have glitter in it, and it's like you can, for the Christmas spirit, you can have glitter poop.
Really?
If you swallow these glitter capsules, they're saying now to be festive, you can poop out like glitter poop.
If you had Crohn's disease or something, it could be a problem.
Then you could die.
Have you ever thought of that?
I would not want to participate in a glitter poop.
No. How about a... go ahead. What's a favorite Christmas song? Give me a favorite Christmas song.
Don't be better. If you have little lights in that, you can actually have a glowing poop.
All right, let's move on from the number two. It's not good radio.
Okay, so you know that song, All I Want Is for Christmas, Mariah Carey? I'm getting so sick of that song.
Yeah.
It's like you start singing it, you're so excited, you're happy, you're excited, and then all of a sudden, like by Christmas Day, it's like you can't wait to turn the channel because it's just, there's something about that song, it makes you hate it after a while.
I got that one out of the way. I still like it. It's not bad.
You get festive and then you get into it, and then all of a sudden, like as you play it more and more and more, and every time it comes on, you start growing it, like really not like it, to a point where you can't even tolerate it. You have to change the channel. You have to shut it off.
Mm-hmm.
But, Eric, what's your favorite Christmas song? You know which one I love? I like the one by Josh Groban with the Polar Express.
Okay, Josh Groban with the Grogan? Groban. The Polar Express. He's a country guy, right? Is he a country guy?
I don't think he's a country guy. Josh Groban?
Hmm.
Not country. He's more like classic. Such a great... It's a beautiful song, and it's, I don't know, it's like something with the jingle bells, like when it starts, and it reminds me of the story and the movie, and it's a really nice song.
I'll play that for you. I'm going to put that on for you.
Really? Oh, it's such a great song. And I think people that are listening, too, will like it just as much as I like it.
All right, I'll put that on for you. What about Eric? Eric, want to hear something?
Christmas bells are ringing. You probably already played it.
Christmas bells are ringing.
By who? Christmas bells are ringing. That ding dong, ding dong. That one. Christmas bells are ringing. Yeah. I haven't played that one. That's a great song. I'll have to find that. I'll find a version of that for you. That's one of my favorites.
Thank you.
I like. We Need a Little Christmas too. I'll throw that in. But for the next. Need a little what?
Oh, yeah, Chris, tell us about your name. Were you born around Christmas time?
I was not. I was not born on Christmas time. I was born in October. But that's a story for another day.
Okay.
But people used to call me Christian. My great-grandmother used to call me Christian all the time. And I'd never correct her, because who corrects their great-grandmother? Nobody.
You're right. You just go with it. You acknowledge it. You cooperate.
Yeah.
You call me Carl.
But Christian, that's what the name was derived from. So let me get those on for you. And over the next 45 minutes or so, I'm going to be playing mean Christmas songs as well. I'm having the Grinch take over for the next half an hour, and we'll be playing some rather demented Christmas songs for the next half hour or so. But let me mention that one more time, NORADSanta.org. You can go check that out. As soon as the kiddies let up the server a little bit, and you can track Santa and find out where he is. I did that one year when I went over to my buddy Jim's house. We had a lot of fun, and I check on it every single year, and the kids seem to enjoy it as well. You can actually see Santa going by, you know, in Paris and in London and the Big Ben clock and the Eiffel Tower and all that stuff. So check that out. But I'm going to get going. Enjoy your Christmas Eve together out in Rochester, New York.
That's right.
And
very cold up here.
Merry, Merry Christmas. Have fun.
Merry Christmas. We'll be listening for our songs that we requested.
Sounds good. They'll be on. You're welcome. Merry Christmas. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye. That's Carolyn and Eric calling all the way in from Rochester, New York. Time travels here with you till 8 p.m. Time travel here with you until 8 p.m. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, riding down Santa Claus Lane. Thanks so blitzing, all I hear's a reindeer pulling on the rain. Bells are ringing, children's in, all is merry and bright. Hang your stockings and say your prayers, 'cause Santa Claus won't be light. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, riding down Santa Claus Lane. He's got a bag that's filled with toys for boys and girls again. Hear those sleigh bells jingle jangle, what a beautiful sight. Jump in bed and cover up your head, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Come Santa Claus, come Santa Claus, ride down Santa Claus Lane. He doesn't care if you're rich or poor, oh, he loves you just the same. Santa knows that we're God's children, that makes everything right. Fill your hearts with Christmas cheer, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Oh, well, come Santa Claus, come Santa Claus, Lane. He'll come around when the chimes ring out, it's Christmas morn again. Peace on earth will come to all. No.